brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network. Found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Hello and welcome to the latest live episode of Wrestling with Jonas. And we don't often do live interviews on a Sunday evening, but today I've got a very, very special guest for episode 354, none other than the new Progress Men's World Champion, Kid Lykos. Lykos, how you doing, brother? Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, I'm good, man. Thank you for having me. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are live, as I said, across Twitch, YouTube, X, and Facebook. So if you want to get in touch with the show, you can do. Send us your questions through for Kid Lykos, the brand new Progress Men's World Champion. And we'll do our very best during the course of this interview to answer every single one. But before we take a deep dive with Kid Lykos, just a quick reminder, March has been a busy, busy month on Wrestling with Jonas. And it started just a few weeks back with Eddie Dennis joining me live, episode 350. Fantastic. Go and check that one out. More recently, interviews with Spring-Heeled, Jack Landers, and Kurt Atlas. Let's say live interviews over the last few weeks. And my most recent interview dropped last Thursday, just a few days ago, with Millie McKenzie, of course. And as announced a few days ago across all my socials, my April lineup is already out there. And the big guest for April is going to be none other than Flash Morgan Webster on Monday, the 8th of April. Join us for all of those. Flash Morgan Webster is going to be a fantastic interview. But today, it's all about this man here. Just moments after the occasion, just moments after that big steel cage match, Twisted Metal, exactly four weeks ago to the day, possibly 4 weeks ago to the hour. I mean, like I say, it's been 4 weeks, and I don't know if you've had a chance to kind of sit back and reflect on what actually happened, has it all sunk in yet?
Yeah, I think so. Like, it was weird, like really weird at first, like, even just getting home, and I have that in my house. It was weird. And then I tried to make a point of, like, is in the same way I tried to normalize, like, when I'd lost the mask, I tried to, like, not shy away from being places because I'd made my bed, I'd lost the mask, I had to fight through again. And then same with this, like, I tried to make sure I took the belt everywhere. Like, I was lucky that Progress had a run of three shows in, like, two and a half weeks, so I ended up having it at that For the Love of the Wrestling show in Manchester. Then I took it to Italy. Then I had it again at Progress the following week. Had it at my own show at TNG. And I've tried to take it everywhere since and represent being the champion that I wanted to be and finally achieving that goal.
Absolutely. And I think this year, 2024, marks 13 years in the business for yourself. But deep down, what does it mean to you to be the Progress World Champion? I know you've got a long history of Progress, a few ups and a few downs over the 13 years. But to finally be men's world champion in Progress, what does that mean to you?
Well, it depends what you count as well. Technically, like, there's a match, a full match of mine on a professional show from 16 years ago. Technically, you could quantify 16. I mean, that, like, the 16 years would be exhibition matches, but they're still matches. 13 years would be my first, like, non-exhibition placed match on a show. But either way, a long history of Progress. It felt like the culmination of everything I've worked for. Like, there's been two moments since returning from, like, the retirement-causing injury that have been, like, they have felt like full circle, like things that I had to achieve to prove that not only was I back, but I was better than I ever was. And that was going back to Japan, because obviously I was meant to be originally following the first tour of Japan I did with Chris. We were meant to go back for DDT together. Due to injury, I had to not go. So going back even 2022, going back that for Takeshita's anniversary show and DDT and Gato Move and Choco Pro was, that was one of those achievements. I was like, okay, I'm back to where I need to be. Let's push to the next thing. And then push into this title was like the final achievement of that comeback. I felt like a long time in the making, and I felt like I'd made steps in the right direction for that. So it's been good. Some, I like to say, some lows at Progress, but inexplicable highs. So that's what matters.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We're going to get into all of that. A few people watching us live at home. We've got Jack Knudsen, the boys. There we go. Thank you, Jack, for watching this interview with Kid Lykos. A big fan of yours. We've got Beth. Let me see if I can read this out. So I have a question for Lykos, if that's okay. Of course it's okay. How did it feel reaching your end goal of finally becoming Progress Men's World Champion? She's so proud of you, still on cloud nine, and was happy to be there to witness the occasion. So, I mean, you've probably covered it in a nutshell, but she's asking, you know, what does it feel like to kind of reach that end goal and finally become world champion?
I appreciate the question, Beth. That's really nice. It feels great. It feels like a culmination. So it felt as well, I guess, to some degree, with how like the end of December show was such a low as far as just like what I'd been going on in our external lives. And then, see, I've gone through the repeated setbacks with like losing the mask and stuff. Like, it just felt like it was just pure elation. Like, I was just happy. Like, I had no energy to give, so I was at the merch table afterwards taking photos of everyone, but I had no energy. But because I was so happy, it didn't matter. Like, I was not forcing myself, but I was happy to be out there regardless of if I needed to lie down and just like decompress, because it was important and it was special to me. But it's seemed just as special to a lot of people. Like, people spoke to me in tears and stuff like that, which is, that's what this is all about. And if it's that special to some people, then like that's the beauty of it, and that's what makes me happy. So it's settled in for me, but I'm glad other people have felt the same sort of way.
Yeah And as I mentioned, I had Eddie Dennis on the show a few weeks back, and we mentioned about your win. I said that I don't think Progress could have chosen a better wrestler to put their championship on. And he kind of, you know, pushed back and corrected me. And he goes, I don't think it was Progress that chose Lykos as their champion. It was the fans that chose Lykos as their champion. And, you know, and I think the momentum for you really started around Super Strong Style last year. And of course, there's four fantastic matches, winning the whole thing, of course. But I don't think it would be kind of speaking today together, or I don't think any of this would be possible without the fans, their backing, their undying support and love for you. I think the fans have been the driving force behind what's happened recently.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with Eddie's statement completely. I don't think I've ever been the guy for as much as like, I've been prominent at Progress, don't get me wrong, but I don't think I've ever been the guy, especially in the idea of being the face of the company in a good role, until it was not thrust upon them, but a moment that you couldn't not have happen. Like, the fans made their choice. But I would say my momentum started, to be honest, from that match at the Dome with Chris. I'd had that strong run with the audience very much against me, and we told our story in 25 minutes. In that ring, which is a story that goes beyond the build for the 6 months prior to that match. It was just like 7 or 8 years of teaming and what we'd gone through coming out, unfolding in the ring in that 25 minutes. And I think that's where like a groundswell of support started for me, because I think at that point I felt like I very rarely got to show how good I can be or how much I care for this. And possibly my own fault, don't get me wrong, but that got to show everyone, I think, reminded people of what they used to love about me when I was teaming with Chris, when I was the super underdog back in 2017, 2018. So I think that started the groundswell. And then like the match with the Sunshine Machine in December or January for Progress, I can't remember which date it was, but either way, I think that set the tone for what the year was to become. And then Strong Style was just the rise to what could have been seen as the climax, but then obviously it just kept rising on and on from that point. And just, I never expected it to continue the way it did, but the support was incredible. And yeah, I can't speak more fondly about the audience. And that's why like the for everyone thing became like a bit of a hashtag, which is fine. But it was never intended to be that. It was just me being open and honest. Cause I think being open and honest is important with the audience. And I think I was like, truthfully going into Strong Style, I was like, I can feel the support that's already there. And I want to reward people for who've been supporting me or even just have cared over the last 6 years. Because especially with the injury time and everything, people were far greater to me than they really needed to be. And I think I wanted to pay that back. And I hope this past year I've been able to, at least to some degree.
Yeah, absolutely. And got some pictures to bring up. And of course, that was after you won Super Strong Style, the streamers, the fans around the ring, and similar scenes 4 weeks ago back in the ballroom, Twisted Metal, after you won that match, shaking the cage. I've never, ever seen or heard an atmosphere like it in my long wrestling fandom. And I do have a video to play. So this is my vantage point at the moment following that three count. There we go. And they let you have your moment after that. But to bring back, I'm guessing that brings back very fond memories for you of that night. Tell us about that moment and what the emotions were at that very occasion.
It's just pure elation. Like, to get the final three counts, especially after a match that hard, with the audience, like even the swell up to the final move was incredible. Like, say, shaking the cage. Yeah, it's just pure elation. And then to have your friends around you, like, obviously not all my friends were there on the show, but to have the people that were there supporting me in the ring with me, like, that's special. I think it's an excerpt from Jericho's book where he talks about, like, he wins the title, he comes backstage and no one's there because everyone's gone home, because the main event is a late one. And that's something I've, like, felt doing Progress main events recently. Where a lot of time people have gone home by the time you get backstage, but that was one of the moments I got to share with people in the ring, let alone backstage. So that's what's really lovely about it. Like, I mean, it's the same thing I've been saying the whole way through the story is, like, my friends are part of my strength. I'm not afraid to be vulnerable or be weak and have to be pulled back up by my friends, because I think that's true to who I am. I'm not going to hide that, because that's silly, and I think that presents, like, toxic traits. I'd rather be honest about it, and I think having my friends there with me for that big moment is makes it all the more special. If you look at, like, the end of a lot of the shows we've had, especially Progress ones, in the last, like, 6 months, but, like, TNG ones alike and everything, the most special photos I have from those shows, or, like, on my feed, for example, on Instagram, are with my friends, because that's what matters more than anything. Like, obviously this is the most important, like, the most important singles title I can be holding right now, and that means the world, and the audience reaction means the world, of course, but my friends were with me the whole way through, and that's the thing that brings the true elation.
And just going to bring up some photos, and this was Progress's second ever steel cage match. The previous one, maybe getting close to a year ago now, Spike versus Kara, another incredible match. But I mean, the physicality in this match, I mean, of course it's going to be physical, and it's going to be a very, very emotional match. And Spike, you know, as much as I haven't had too many good words to say about Spike, you know, he was a champion for a very, very long in Progress. But there you are, after being crowned the champion, the elation, the emotion, as you said, your friends in there with you, and some of these photos, like I say, bringing back some fantastic memories of the day. But like I say, very, very incredible moments there, photos there. But tell us a bit about the match itself and the physicality. And I think you have had steel cage matches before, but maybe, you know, going back a few years now, maybe 5 or 6 years prior, take us back to that day. And what was the cage match and the physicality like for you?
First of all, those photos are all incredible. Like, Brazier head drop killed it that day, and I have like 30 special photos from that match alone that mean a lot to me. So it's nice to have those. The physicality was, I think too many times nowadays you see cage matches that rely on things that aren't the cage. Because people want to get physical in a different way. But for me, I like that within our match, it was about the physicality between the wrestlers, and the cage was the only thing that could dictate the pace of that. And it's a physical environment to be in, and I think to do it well or to survive well is it's very hard. Obviously, like, we've seen all the videos, like, I was spraying blood out. I wasn't only bleeding, I was spraying it.
That still kind of tells a story.
Yeah, it's a dangerous environment, it really is. I've been in a couple cage matches, but like, never anything so violent and never anything of that magnitude. So like, the day itself was weirdly calm for me. Like, I've had a lot of stress on these big match days at least with regards to these spike matches and stuff. But I was very anxious in the lead up, like on the train down to London and getting to the venue and stuff. But then from the minute I saw the cage on the floor in the venue that hadn't even got the chair set up, I kind of just settled into it and then just prepared myself for what I was about to do. And went out there, and like, for the biggest thing I can have is I won't give up, as cheesy as that is. Like, I'll do my utmost, and if I fail, I'll learn from that. But I'll do my best to succeed, and I succeeded. I fought through it all, bleeding or not.
Yeah, and I want to talk about the blood as well, because the blood loss was quite extraordinary. I mean, Spike suffered an injury as well, and like I say, got busted open. But yourself, this is just a still from a video that's on your Instagram, and you can see, like I say, I'm not going to describe it, but there's a puddle there. There is definitely a puddle of blood there. Like I say, I think obviously when you have blood in a wrestling match, it adds to the drama. It kind of draws people in that little bit more. Not that the match needed, you know, any more than it already had, but that blood just added that extra few percent. And I mean, there was a lot of blood that came from both you and Spike that day. Were you a bit worried or any concerned at all during the match that you might have been bleeding a bit too much?
No, because I was focused on the match itself, and I never at any point worried about that. Like, obviously those matches hurt, they're physical, but I never worried about any of those things. Like Os2 checked on me, like, because he was worried. I had the referee in the ring, Oscar, checking on me because he was worried. I had the referee outside the ring checking on me because he was worried, but I was fine. Like, I was zoned in on what I was doing. I mean, I could have been dying, and you know, I wouldn't have stopped that match, don't get me wrong. But I was, like, the blood loss, the only thing that's shaky about when you're bleeding like that is it getting in your eyes because you can't see. And that's a thing that can make you panic. Mm. But again, I was focused on that. So yeah, there was nothing else. Yes, I managed to get Spike to bleed as well, but I reckon the ratio is at least 2-1 in my favour of ruining that canvas, or maybe even 3-1, because I left puddles everywhere. It was bad.
Yeah, but like I say, added to the drama, and like I say, a wonderful, wonderful match. A few people that reached out to us before we went live tonight, Lycos, and we got a friend of the show, Richie, says, your turn from heel to babyface before Strong Style last year was amazing. He loved your four matches at Super Strong Style last year, and your fantastic rivalry with Spike. Richie actually did us the honour of, he was at New Wave on Friday, got his photo taken with you, good friend of the show, Looks like Richie's trying to run away with your championship there. I'm sure you stopped him. But good boy, Richie. But we had another question that came through. Let me just find the right slide here. And a question from Darren Ewing. What does it mean to you to be the Progress Men's World Champion? I think we've already answered that. But after your long and grueling story and feud with Spike, now, your feud with Spike dates back to, like I say, last year, almost immediately after Super Strong Style. And when you won Super Strong Style last year, I think you were already, in the fans' eyes, the uncrowned Men's World Champion in Progress, certainly in their eyes. And like I say, you had the full fan support. But like I say, your feud, your rivalry, your story with Spike, it's going to be one of them storylines that would go down in Progress history and probably one of your favourite feuds of recent memory.
Yeah, I appreciate Richie's comment about the turning from bad to good, because I think the most rewarding stories are the ones that keep the audience engaged but reward the audience for watching for a long time. And I liked that there was podcasts coming out before the first Spike title match where they were recounting like little things that were like little details of the narrative that dated back to pre-Strong Style and from the match with Brooks to the eventual turn with the match of Sunshine Machine and such. So I really love that people like that part of it as well as the actual Spike section of said story. The Spike story was obviously brutal, but I think it was I think a lot of wrestling fans, although they liked me, saw me in a certain light or at a certain ceiling. I've always been a tag team guy because I love tag team wrestling. I think it's the most beautiful style of professional wrestling because you have so many moving parts and so many narratives you can tell with four people or six people. And I think you have to be really smart and talented to be a special degree of tag team wrestler like the people I look up to and aspire to be like. However, this was a chance to show that I can do the things that make a special main eventer as a singles competitor, which I think a lot of people weren't expecting. And then I think the proof's in the pudding with I've had a few people contact me and say that they felt that they wanted to admit to me, despite me never like not knowing their opinion necessarily, they wanted to admit to me that they were wrong. Or someone published a really lovely article where they literally outwardly put into paragraphs what they thought, why they now think they're wrong, and what they believe now. And I think being able to turn the tide of, or like turn the opinion of people through just my work, I think is a really nice thing to take away from this angle with Spike, this storyline, because I put everything into that. I wanted to show that I could be the top guy, because I don't want to be like too this way or that way about things, but like when wrestling was coming back in England, I wanted to make sure like I was part of the 11 players who took the ball at their feet and dribbled it out of our own goal and took it to someone else's. And I think I was a key player of that. And this is like the culmination of that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and Beth, we brought up one of her questions earlier on, but she's watching us live at home on Facebook. I remember I couldn't record and take any photos. I was legit shaking and bawling with tears of happiness. So thank you, Beth. And keep sending us your questions and your comments. We'll do our very best to answer them during the course of this interview. But final question on what happened at Twisted Metal and after the match. And you mentioned that you were running on adrenaline, barely any energy after the match, taking your photos with the fans at the merch stand. But when you headed backstage, I mean, you know, obviously surrounded by your friends once again, I'm guessing that you kind of had a chance to kind of sit down and just take a breather. But what were your emotions kind of backstage? And when you got back to the hotel, did you sleep a wink at all that night?
Yeah, I had to rush off back to Birmingham anyway, but like I got backstage, I spoke with like the people I'm closest with that were there. Spoke to obviously the owners of Progress and the other members of staff. I spoke with just other people there at the show, and it's I think that's important anyway after any match, just for just to get a gauge of everything. But yeah, that was a nice one because I got to share in some moments with people and had a nice conversation with a bunch of different people that day. And then I ran upstairs because like the timing of everything, it was getting later. I had to get my train, so I ran upstairs, had the quickest like shower to get myself clean because I can't rock up on a train full of blood. wrap my head in a towel and put my hat on and headed on my way to the train station, and then got back, and then like, yeah, just taking everything in was weird. Like the belt was just sat on my bed, and I was just looking at it like, this is so strange, but like in a good way, like perfectly wonderful. That's where I ended up. Yeah, it was great. It's just great. I can't complain.
100%. And I'd say they're 4 weeks removed now since you became the champion in the ballroom at Twisted Metal. And you've already performed a couple of times in the ring for Progress since then. I think just a few days later, out for the love of wrestling, for the love of Progress, I think it was on the Friday evening. And like I say, no rest for the wicked, because yourself and Lycos 2 was in there against GYV, making their, well, I think their second appearance in a Progress ring since coming back onto the indies. But how was that? And I'm guessing you know the GYV boys very well. But like I say, back in tag team action, like I say, your style of wrestling that you've loved for many, many years. Take us back to that day in Manchester, wasn't it?
The day itself was really relaxing because it was just, I travelled to Manchester, had some food and got ready to wrestle. That was it. I had to do like some new champion like duties, yeah, as far as like photos and stuff like that. But it was just preparing to wrestle with my best friend, Kid Lycos 2. So it was just, it was quite calm. And then getting in the ring with GYB, like I've wrestled them a bunch of times, both successful and unsuccessful matches. Obviously I've, there's one of the first famous dislocations was I did a flip dive off the low balcony in the ballroom and my shoulder came out, and that was against the GYB. Then obviously me and Chris beat them in Philly for the Progress tag titles at the Coast to Coast Tour in 2018, which is a really special match and a really special moment. And the American audience was super lovely to us. So I'm glad to be going back to Philly in, 10 days, 11 days? It's going to be nice to be back there to feel that energy again. Yeah, I wrestled GYB a bunch of times, and they're obviously a benchmark for tag team wrestling and the way they do it, which I think differs to how me and Lycos 2 do it, but not in a sense that is either style is right or wrong. It's just, that's the beauty of tag wrestling. And I think it was not nice to get in there and mix the two styles. And it was fun, but yeah, they are fantastic wrestlers. And I was glad to get the chance to, cause I was going to wrestle them in December for North Wrestling. But due to an injury, I couldn't make the show. So that, luckily, Gene Money filled in as part of the Bad Boy Gym Gang to team with Lycos 2. But to get the chance to do it again, it was just a lot of things recently. I felt nostalgic in a weird way, like wrestling them, wrestling Eddie, and unboxing. There's been a lot of nostalgia moments, weirdly, in the scene.
Yeah, and just a few pictures from that match against GYV out for the love of Progress in Manchester. Just a few days after that match, you were defending your championship for the very first time against Leo Rush in Tufnell Park. Just a few pictures from that match. But, I mean, Leo Rush, no stranger to the Progress audience, somebody I know you know very, very well. But you retained your championship, your first ever title defence. Take us back to that day, because Leo Rush, he's not quick, he's sudden, isn't he? And I mean, to be in there with somebody like Leo Rush must be a thrill, but you gotta have eyes in the back of your head. How was that match?
First of all, that graphic is great, the photo they use for the match with Leo Rush. So can everyone just tweet Progress and tell them to use that photo instead of the other photo they've been using for my graphics, because I'm not looking my best in that other photo. The Leo is, I'd never wrestled Leo. I'd been on like a couple of shows with him here and there. No, maybe like one show with him, to be honest. So I hadn't really even interacted with him until that day. And he's got such a explosive style that no one else can replicate. Like, he's one of the truly unique wrestlers in the world. And that's why he is beloved wherever he seems to go. Like, that's why he was so over in New Japan. That's why he's like, the American audiences love him. That's why the British audiences love him, because he's special and unique. And I think for me, that's a trait I value. I think uniqueness is the most important thing to me in wrestling. And I think Leo is one of the people who really excels at being unique. So to get in there with him was fun, because you get to explore something you can't experience wrestling someone else. And he's a great wrestler, very interesting to wrestle. I had to be more creative to adapt to what he does and do what I do. Even to the point of, obviously, he kicked out of my the move that's beaten everyone since Super Strong Style. So I had to adapt the way I do it, and now doing the new variant that I beat Leo with. So he pulled something new out of me. So it was a good day in that sense, because I learned a lot about myself and just wrestling a competitor of that degree and that skill.
And somebody you might know watching this live via X, Kid Like Us too. Hi, Kid Like Us, big fan here. But here we go. I was going to bring up Kid Like Us too a bit later on, but I think that, you know, as remarkable as your story's been, he's been by your side every step of the way, and has been an important part of the overall journey, hasn't he?
Yeah, he obviously is a big fan, because if you see his waistline, he doesn't train tummy, so he's getting bigger and bigger. Kid Like Us too is the man. He's one of the most underrated wrestlers in the country, and I don't care what anyone says. People can say this wrestler's underrated, this wrestler deserves more. No one deserves more than him. He is actually exceptional at what he does. And I think he's just, he's a young adult, he's just left his teenage years. So it's scary to think what he's going to learn once he gets more comfortable with, I think, who he is as an adult person, because you don't learn that until, like, I don't think I learned that until like 25. So he's got years to learn real life who he is, let alone who he is as a wrestler. So it's scary to think what he's going to be doing then. He's been with me the whole way through, and with he's been an important part of the story. I think the story isn't as special without its I don't want to say supporting cast, because that's not a fair way of putting it, but like, the story isn't as special without, say, that match at the ballroom with Like Us 2 and me versus the Smoking Aces in a street fight. It's not as special without Like Us 2 versus Bullet, and I think that's what's so fun about it, because I think the story's been not only shown how changed the opinion of what people felt of me, but it's also changed the opinion of what they thought of him, because again, he's way better than people realize, and I'll never stop publicly giving him that praise when I get the chance to. I'll obviously rinse him because he sucks, but when I have the opportunity to speak on a platform about how good he can be, I will.
There we go. I think
makes sense.
That's it. He's heard all he wants to hear, and he's off now. Thanks, Kid Like Us too. There we go. We'll catch you down the road. But you mentioned it earlier, and you are heading over to Philly, back over to Philly with Progress. Freedom Walks Again, Chapter 166. You're going to be performing for Progress Friday the 5th of April from the Penn's Landing Caterers in Philadelphia against that man there, man like DeReese. Heading back over to the States, heading back over to, you know, Philadelphia or to America and to wrestle over there stateside again, you must be looking forward to that trip.
Yeah, first of all, let's bring that graphic back up. And again, reminder, everyone watching, go and tweet about using the other graphic, because look at my face, man, that's not acceptable. And the one thing I found really hard since losing the mask, I don't know how to take promo photos, because that's not what my face would look like when I had a mask on.
That's it, with the mask, you didn't have to worry so much, did you?
No, I don't understand how people do it, so it's something I'm still working out, which is a learning curve that I'm not used to being on. But I'm excited to go back to Philly. I haven't been back to America since Mania Weekend 2019, where I was here, there, and everywhere. I did like the Chikara show. I did what's it called? Interspecies Wrestling. I did. I was a part of Kaiju. I did the Rev Pro show. I did the Fight Club show. I did all sorts there. It was knackering, but getting to go back to America again, it's another one of those things to tick off that at one point I thought I wouldn't be able to do again. So it's a nice special moment. The Philly crowd was amazing last time, so I hope they're the same this time. And getting to do three different shows there is really special. Like, obviously there's been the Defy and Progress connection, but like I've got Defy to team with Chris again. I then get to team with Chris later that night for DDT, who I haven't wrestled for since I was in Japan. So those are two big matches. Obviously, I'm wrestling Speedball and Mao for Defy, which is a match I think people were really excited about.
Oh, yeah.
Rightfully so, because Moonlight Express were, and still are, I should say, such a creative set of wrestlers. And to team them up is a meeting of the minds. You don't know where the minds are actually settling, which is wicked. They're just really creative. And then I think me and Chris were part of a charge of really creative wrestlers in the UK. And he's obviously exceptional. I don't have to tell anyone how special Chris is. So to get to do all that is really good. And then wrestling for DDT, we're wrestling Shota and Brian Keith. Brian Keith obviously has just signed with AEW.
Yeah.
I've never wrestled Shota, but I know he's got a little cult US following because he's done some US work. And I didn't get to meet him when I was in Japan because he was in the US. So to first time meet him and face off with him across the ring is going to be fun. And then on to wrestling, man like Darius, like you say, he's funny. Obviously, he's my friend, so I have a lot of time for him. But even he let me know a little bit, like, I think in advance he knew he wanted this match. And obviously, you've seen the social media interactions where he's beating these people. He thinks he deserves this shot, finally. He even let me know, like, I came backstage from defending against Leo, and he said, just so you know, when you were facing away, looking at the audience, I could have easily run in and done you in with something, but I wouldn't. And I was like, okay. Like, he sent that, like, he means a little bit. He's got some venom with it. Like, he wants this, which is great, because I want competition. Like, I don't want to be like a failure of a champion. And Darius is a great way to prove myself, because we've had a million matches and they've gone a million different results. So on any given day, there could be any result. And especially in a place where I think the audience is going to be split more in his favor, because he's got more recent interaction with the American audience. Like, I think I have, based on my interactions online and everything, I think I have a good US following, but he's obviously been doing GCW shows the last couple of months. So he's got a US following with that specific audience. And I think the audience might be split more in his favor, which is going to be interesting for me to be on that back foot for that match. But it's going to be a good test, and I believe I'll come out with the W. But that's more a self-belief thing. I'm never not going to believe that, because that would be setting myself up for failure.
Yeah. And we touched on it earlier, but I think that one of the matches that really kind of open people's eyes to you, and, you know, I described it as a star-making performance when it happened September 2022, was this match here against Brooks, Return of the Fly, at the Dome, of course. And just a few pictures of the day of the match. And it was, and the match was violent but emotional. It was a no disqualification match. I used to host the Progress Hype Show, and I described on the very next one after that match that was definitely a star-making performance for yourself. I know Brooks cut a very impassionate promo about you after the match. Like I say, I think that was a bit of a turning point for you, wasn't it? I think you described it as a turning point yourself, but take us back to that occasion.
Yeah, I mean, I keep using the word culmination, so I wish I had a different synonym to use, but that wasn't about the 6 months of build in Progress to that match. That was about 8 years of being the closest of friends, being tag partners, like living on his sofa every weekend for 3 days, like seeing his mom more than I saw my mom. Things of that, like it's just a combination of something more important than progress. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way to progress. It's just to me and Chris, and then to the audience members who've been around longer than the new regime, this was something really special to get to have. And obviously it got like, it got pushed to the brink, and you had obviously Masa Takahashi and like us two ringside as well, which added to the drama. And it was again another one of those moments where I feel like I got to show that I can do more than people maybe expect. And I think that's the attitude I went in with, like not only to myself, but I guess to, not that I had to prove anything to him, but to prove to Chris that I was way better than even maybe he thought, which I don't think I had to prove to him, but I wanted to, because I think given that we had separated as we had because of my injury, and then he's gone on to do what he's done in Japan, and I've been holding it down here, I think I had to show that I could do this at a high level. And I don't care what anyone says, that was the match of the year in the UK that year. You can disagree, that's fine. I think that's the one that had the most emotion naturally. It didn't require any gimmicks. It didn't, like, obviously it's no disqualification, but it didn't require any gimmicks to make the story of the match important.
Yeah,
people cared about it before, the minute it was announced. Like, you can tell from the jump, if you go back and watch the show where I say, fuck Chris Brooks, fuck CCK, the reaction from, the reaction to the previous statement said in the promo versus that moment, you can see how much people care on just that statement alone. And I think the match was a beautiful 25 minutes of what 8 years of being the best of friends can show.
Yeah, and it was certainly my match of the year for 2022. Absolutely phenomenal. A few people that are watching us live that have reached out. We've got Nemesis Paradox watching us live on YouTube. Hey, just want to say how proud she is of you. First saw you when you was the GM of TNT. Saw you return from retirement to Rise, and seeing how far you've come is brilliant. Also, she absolutely loves TNG, and she follows up with, it has such a special vibe. So thank you to you and all the guys for that. With the GM of TNT, tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, when I retired, obviously you lose your real reason to be booked on a lot of wrestling shows, and obviously if wrestling is the main thing you've always done, or the only thing you've ever done up to that point, you've lost your livelihood at that point. And Jay at TNT was kind enough to offer me a role at TNT that would keep you within work, so I'm very appreciative of that, and I got to do that for a little bit. Obviously now I'm back active for TNT, and I'm, as you can see, one half of the tag team champions. Absolutely. Which is a rewarding moment, because that's been a year in the making with La Rebellion. To grow from retired and doing that to back from injury, back from like not being able to do this, to physically now feeling my best, and I think looking my best I ever have physically, I think that's really important and really wonderful to have and look back on. Like, sometimes you gotta stop and smell the roses, and something I really forgot to do for the longest time, and this past year I made a conscious effort to do that more, and now I tell other people to do that, because I'm a wanky piece of shit who passes on the stupid things that actually don't really matter, but like it's nice to get to do, and you forget about how nice and rewarding it can be to stop and smell the roses a little bit. TNG as well, that's go from the Schadenfreude and Friends days at the Frog and Bucket, and from the Frog and Bucket's failure to see the value in something that sells out every time, to now being at the Bread Shed and still putting on variety show pro wrestling, which I think is the most fun, because again, like I said, uniqueness is important and variety is important in wrestling. I think being versatile is a skill that you can't undersell in this line of work. And I think TNG gets to show that with its versatile performers every time. So I'm glad the audience appreciates that as well. And I'm glad they enjoy themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, and Ashley Clements, watching us live at home, his name won't come up, but I've checked Facebook. What would you say, would you say that the match with Chris in 2022 at the Dome was your standout moment coming back from injury? I think we've already answered that, and that probably was, like I say, my match of the year for that year. Like I say, one of them star-making performances, one of them turning points in your career, and I'm sure, as you've just said, you'd agree with that.
Yeah, I think up until... I would say the three key points of my career since the three key points of my career in the UK since coming back from injury, the Brooks match at the Dome, which was the first like key moment and was my best, would argue what I would say my best match has been up until 4 weeks ago. And then I think the final of Strong Style, well, the whole Strong Style run, but the final of Strong Style with Haskins was a key moment again. But then the Cage match, obviously, I think is not only, I think, my best match, but I think a very key turning point in my career in the UK. But the Brooks match started it all, in my opinion, because we showed, again, I've rattled about it enough, but yeah, the Brooks match is the key figure.
Yeah, absolutely. And final question we'll leave to Marcus, watching us live at home via YouTube. Do you prefer the mask or no mask? And I know that you don't particularly like the latest promo graphic from Progress, are we ever likely to see the mask return? Kid Lykos under a mask, or are you happy with the way things are?
Even if I was unhappy, it's not going to return because that would be disrespectful to what I value of the traditions. I think people outside of Mexico and Japan, or even sometimes in Japan, to be honest, but in Mexico especially, like, the tradition is it's an honor to wear that mask. And if you wage that mask and you lose that mask, you can't return to that mask. And that, I love Lucha Libre. I really respect that style of professional wrestling. I would never want to disrespect the traditions that have been going on far longer than I've been alive. And I think Western wrestlers especially sometimes just pick and choose what the rules are. And that's not to say that they're rules that have to be followed, but I value that tradition. I value the friends I've made in Mexican wrestling who have taught me a lot of the things, like from like Angelico passing on like Yabeo style techniques to just speaking to different varied talents, like from when Flamita and Bandido were around, and even down to like the respect of culture that they have, like on the Coast to Coast tour in 2018. I obviously got my collarbone broken in a match in Boston. The next day on the tour with travel was Seattle, so the Defy venue years ago, and I didn't get to do it because I was injured. I had to stay in New York for surgery, and Bandido and Flamita were meant to wrestle myself and Brooks. The match changed. They wrestled someone else. They obviously got the money thrown at the end because they were both incredible, and because of the culture that they were raised in and the respect they have, they passed that money on to me because I couldn't make money that day. They gave me all the money they made from their fantastic professional wrestling performance. They passed that on to me because I would need it more than them. And that's why I would never disrespect the culture of where they're from. So the mask, even if I was unhappy, wouldn't return. What do I prefer? Depends on the circumstance. I prefer not wearing a mask as far as my breathing, because it makes breathing a lot easier. Yeah. I remember the first match out of the mask, I messaged Lykos 2 immediately after I'd finished wrestling and was like, it's so much easier just breathing. Like, no one has an excuse to be blown now, because I've done it in a mask and been like blown and still kept going, but then wrestling out of mask, I didn't feel it. I was actually worried my cardio might slip now that I'd lost the mask, to be honest. There's a comfort in the mask, and I hate that there seems to be like a glass ceiling for masked wrestlers in Western wrestling. Because obviously in Mexico that's not the case, and in Japan that's not the case, and rightfully so, because it shouldn't matter if you're wearing a mask or not. You're an exceptional performer. You shouldn't need to remove it to succeed. But I think I'm just getting more comfortable with wrestling without a mask. I wouldn't say I favor either or, because I have a lot of amazing moments in that mask, and I have now some amazing moments without it, but I wouldn't say I prefer either or. I think it's more still getting comfortable, like 5 months on from it.
There we go, Marcus. I hope that answers your question. But very soon we'll be asking you for your socials and where people can reach out and say hi. Just a quick reminder, my next live guest is this coming Tuesday with the Warrior Spirit Echo. So for that. But Lycos, it's been awesome having you on as a guest for this special episode, episode 354. But if any of my fans, followers, listeners, viewers want to reach out, say hi, get to learn more about Kid Lycos, where can they do so, my friend? And if it helps, we do have your details scrolling along the bottom, but the floor is yours.
Yeah, obviously my Twitter, my X is at Kid Lycos, which is the same as my Instagram, at Kid Lycos. When myself and Lycos 2 do merch drops, they'll be on lycosgym.bigcartel.com. We're currently sold out, but we'll be working on something post Philadelphia, because I just like making clothes. Like it's merch. I'm not going to be a wanky arsehole and be like, it's not even merch, it's merch. But I like making fun things. I don't want to, even if the profit margin ends up being shy, I'd rather make something fun than make a shit t-shirt that, like, just a wrestling shirt. If you want just a wrestling shirt, though, you can find all my previous designs on prowrestlingtees.com/Lycos Gym. So for US audiences or anything like that, that's a good place to go. UK audiences, you may as well wait for a big cartel thing, because it'll be cheaper, honestly.
There we go. But Kid Lycos, congratulations on becoming the new Progress Men's World Champion. And it's been a pleasure speaking to you on this episode of Wrestling with Jonas. Just want to say thank you so much for your time.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
You're very welcome. Thank you.